Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome to the program. Always great to sit in for Jim and be a part of the biggest and most important show in our industry, brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Jim enjoying his time in the basement. You got to put up with me again today for 3 hours, but I'll do my best to make sure we proceed forward rapidly. Hop aboard at 1-800-636-8686. Emails romanhaveatake.com. Twitter's your best bet with me. The Twitter interaction has been phenomenal lately. Let's keep it going. BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Coming up, we'll get to a tweet or two before we jump in with our thoughts on what's happening across the NFL. In 20 minutes, we'll be joined by one of my best friends in the media, former colleague of mine when we worked together at NFL Network, Steve Weitsch, an outstanding football journalist, as we'll meander across the NFL. NBA heating up. Good games today in the bubble. Really feels almost like March Madness with wall-to-wall basketball. Zion and the Pelicans trying to play their way into the postseason. Lakers have locked up the top seed in the West. They looked awful last night against OKC, although they really didn't have much to play for. Taking on Houston today. Clippers and Mavs, that could be a first-round playoff preview. And it's the first major of the year in golf. PGA Championship from gorgeous Harding Park in San Francisco. Tiger Woods is on the course. I have to make an editorial decision, and we can do it together on Twitter. It's BW Weber. How many Tiger updates do I sprinkle into the program? Because as I play program director on the radio, and by now, after all, why don't I have the corner office? If you really care about what Tiger's doing, you're finding alternate means to get that information. At the same time, so many of you are listening in your car, and you're captive to every word I'm saying. So I'll do my best to give you updates. Sports update, as always, bottom of the hour. But the good people running the television coverage have Tiger streaming right now. So if you really care, you can find that for yourself on the internet. Alvin DeLauro is here. Garrett Ritz is here. And what do you know? Adam Hawk is here. I think primarily to watch golf on his phone.
Honestly,
the man who typically, and I don't want to personalize this, will only give 40% by his own admission to any fill-in host, yesterday decided not even to show up, which, because this show was so phenomenal when we moved together organically, got us thinking on Twitter, and we got some outstanding submissions. If Hawk, with a baseline of 40%, by definition, by skipping work, went to zero, is it possible to break that barrier and head into negative territory? Could he go low with a red number playing the front nine at TPC Harding Park? And somebody dropped in the answer. Indeed, Hawk, and this is your new nickname with me, my friend, less than zero is what you give me, whether you're here or not. Also, the odds you're ever going to finish college after dropping out of three community colleges. So the table is set. I mentioned the tweets. Let's get it out of the way. With the NFL conversation coming up, it's a significant day across the league. The deadline for players to opt out looming at 4 p.m. Eastern. So, Geoff and Lincoln, who continues to stalk me, tweeting, the deadline is today, this afternoon. Why, regards Adam Hawk scrambling to cancel all of his free trial subscriptions, because not only is he lazy, the executive producer of the show is a grifter. With that, let's talk football. We're 5 weeks away from the start of the regular season. Tonight should have been the kickoff game for preseason football, the Hall of Fame game, which was initially canceled as the NFL still was clinging to the hope that they could have at least some semblance of a preseason, but had to accept the reality that why would you put players on the road for meaningless games if you're going to run that risk? Let's wait for the regular season. All part of the weirdest year ever, including professional football. You might have seen this report at my old home professionally, NFL Network, and I'm surprised they didn't lead every show with this. You had to dig around a little bit. It was on NFL.com. Raiders head coach John Gruden wanted to see how his players would react to the news that he had COVID-19. He wanted to judge their ability to compartmentalize and do their jobs if they have to deal with a dramatic circumstance in the regular season. So, according to this report, when the players logged onto their Zoom meeting, thought that Gruden would be snarling back at him. You talk about a guy. Instead, they were greeted by the special teams coordinator who said Gruden was hospitalized and dealing with COVID-19. Surprise, surprise. Then Gruden popped on and said, "I'm not trying to swerve you. I just want you to be fully mentally prepared for anything that could happen in this bizarre year." Now, you can justify this using that same twisted logic that Chucky laid out, that he's merely trying to have mental reps in the setting of training camp. But come on. Even the most ardent football supporter, one of the army of NFL insiders, couldn't really believe that spin, right? Given what we're all dealing with in the midst of a pandemic, you got a guy, you talk about a guy, you have a head coach who is, I think, and I don't want to be too hyperbolic on a Big Word Thursday, being a bit sadistic to his players, right? Now, you could say, "Hey, Snowflake, toughen up. Look, I'm 50. My life is over. And I come from a generation in which people were a lot tougher on their kids. So I'm not here for the participation trophy, but I do have a degree of compassion, and I've got a brain. If you think this was, at best, an error in judgment, okay, why don't we take it a step further? It was incredibly tone deaf, but it reminded me," and I was watching this documentary again the other day through the power of On Demand, Brian Weber in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio. In 15 minutes, we go across the NFL with Steve Weich of NFL Network. I was watching the terrific O.J. Simpson documentary, Made in America. You might remember they found the outtakes of a pilot, thankfully, that never aired on TV. O.J. ripping off Ashton Kutcher's punked gimmick. You got Juiced, in which he was in a mask and would reveal himself to unwitting participants. Well, you got Gruden, or you got Grood, or whatever the heck it is. Just a lame, thoughtless exercise. And don't tell me I'm being too sensitive.
You ever been on a boat that's sinking? It's
these challenging times, as every commercial reminds us, that we're living in.
Khalil Mack didn't
Let's talk about something that is a little bit more newsworthy and tangible. Because there was the school of thought, going back to when the sports world changed the night we got the Rudy Gobert news, that the NFL was going to be more prepared than anybody because they had the most lead time. So they would pick and choose from what worked and what failed based on what the other leagues had to do with a sense of urgency. So no surprise, as professional football is playing catch-up, they have borrowed the good old snitch line. Players Association setting up their own tip line, so if somebody doesn't feel comfortable calling out a teammate, they can pick up the phone and do it anonymously. Strangely, Chris Paul keeps calling that NFL number trying to rat out LeBron James, but it hasn't worked. Then there's the bubble concept. It's been remarkably successful in basketball. Another round of no positive tests. It's been equally effective with two bubbles. In hockey, we keep hearing, well, it's not feasible in the NFL. Do the math, 32 teams, 53-man rosters. But this is a league in which the difference between first place and last place beyond the standings, I'm talking about tangible differences in games, comes down to a handful of plays and typically innovation and creative thinking. So, not surprisingly, the Saints had the first notion of what makes a great deal of sense, and probably not a stretch of logic to think that Sean Payton, having already dealt with coronavirus, wouldn't have a Zoom call with his players and fake being sick again, right? He wouldn't Gruden the Saints, but the Brains Trust in New Orleans, GM Mickey Loomis and a Super Bowl winning head coach, Sean Payton, along with their team, came up with, I think, a terrific idea. Why not have a voluntary bubble, a mini bubble, if you will? Although Payton, since we're going OJ, had the Lance Ito verbiage. Players are being sequestered like a jury. Same effect as a bubble. Four floors in a hotel near the French Quarter, rented out. Roughly 150 people in the organization, all following the same routine or working, if they're on the business side, from their hotel room. The football staff and the players hop on a bus, go to the training facility, come back. That's their day. But because the NFL never does things easily and rarely actually negotiates in good faith, this is a voluntary bubble. It's voluntary, like the voluntary off-season workouts that if you're a marginal player and you choose not to show up for, you magically don't make the roster. But because this is a competitive league and we talk about the notion of rivalries in that division, I think New Orleans and Atlanta historically is the best rivalry we don't talk enough about. Well, this year it's going to be all about Tampa Bay and New Orleans. Tom Brady taking his talents to the Sunshine State as Drew Brees tries to outgun him and hang on to the records that he already has, and they're going to vie, presumably, for a division title. Well, that rivalry now has moved to a different context because head coach Bruce Arians said yesterday, while not paying homage to the Saints, effectively, they're going to rip off the idea, and they're going to take it even further. They're going to try this voluntary bubble when we get to the regular season, saying that they're working on plans to come up with their own hotel, that if players want to feel safer and don't want to run the risk of daily interaction with people they don't know, you can check in, but you can't check out. You're going to make a commitment for the greater good of the team, which really raises the question, is Tom Brady going to do this? Because we know of the details of his process, and we'll put aside the snake oil pitch and the $200 magic pajamas. He is driven by a passion for his family. If you ever saw the Time versus Tom documentary, seems like a wonderful dad. Is Tom Brady going to be really willing to give up that family time, which is part of his daily routine, as everything else is meticulously penciled out? And I'll go lowest common denominator. We know that often sports talk radio is guy talk on the man, some affiliates across the country. If you had Gisela Bündchen waiting for you at home, are you checking into a Ramada and staying there for 4 months? And I don't care if it's a Four Seasons or a Ritz. You get my point. But credit at least some teams, even though they're using the ruse of it being voluntary, for thinking intelligently, thinking creatively, to try to learn from the overt mistakes that baseball continues to make. Baseball now coming out with an updated protocol after the debacle of the Marlins and the Cardinals, saying they're going to strongly suggest, with the threat of fines and then potentially suspensions, that everybody connected to the game constantly wear a mask. Okay. Let's say Aaron Judge decides not to wear a mask. You think baseball is going to suspend him? I'm guessing that'll just be a fine. If you are the third arm out of the bullpen for the Diamondbacks, watch out. You don't have that mask on. You're going to sit for a bit. But baseball has been a hodgepodge. It has been a nightmare scenario. Football doing their best to make sure the season starts on time. 5 weeks from tonight, Kansas City, the reigning champs, and Houston in a glamour matchup. Season's going to start on time. Will it finish? We can just hope and think positive thoughts.
Listen up. I want to tell you all about Fracture. Fracture turns your digital images into beautiful glass prints. That's right. They print your photos directly on glass, transforming your memories into handcrafted, frameless prints. Absolutely gorgeous. beautiful thing to have. Fracture helps you focus on the moments that matter most by turning those favorite memories into beautiful glass prints. And prints come in multiple sizes, no frame required. Glass prints also make unbelievable gifts that your friends and family will never, ever forget. It's a home run. Fracture prints look incredible. You really need to see them to believe it. Upload your photo at fractureme.com/Rome to print your photo today on glass. And we've got a special deal for you listeners. When you visit fractureme.com/Rome and you enter the promo code Rome, you'll get 20% off your order. fractureme.com/Rome. Enter the promo code Rome and save 20% off your Fracture glass print. I'm hyped on Fracture, and I do appreciate their sponsorship of this podcast.
Brian Weber back with you in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. The phone number, 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter. That is BW Weber. Let's talk football because my time at NFL Network remains a career highlight, although we went on the air at 3 o'clock in the morning, local time in Southern California, for a morning show. Did 20 live hours of TV a week. So I don't remember anything other than forging a bond with our first guest today. He is a football journalist and a good friend, Steve Weich. Follow him on Twitter, Weich89. Check out his great work on NFL Network and NFL.com. Steve, I'm claiming to be a dear friend, but we've only texted in recent months. We haven't chatted. How are you?
B-Web, I'm doing well. And look, those days, even though we went on air at 3 and we showed up at midnight, they were quite memorable. So for you to feign that you don't remember much, I think maybe you're going on trial or something, and you're talking about to the best of my memory.
Okay, I remember security walking to my car with me with a cardboard box, but we'll save that for when I actually call you. Normally, in the month of August, you'd be phoning us from the road covering an NFL training camp, but like everybody else, you're spending more time at home, and great job, parenthetically, anchoring. I love what you've been doing in recent weeks. This is not a normal year. How do you think players and coaches have adjusted, and we have the important deadline at 4 p.m. Eastern today of players having to opt out before we get to the afternoon?
Yeah, let's get to the last part of that question first. I think we're close to 60 players opting out, and there's a big question if, you know, the Bills cornerbacks, Tre'Davious White, one of the best players at his position in the league, may opt out. I think the numbers are a little higher than what some folks in the league expected. For the most part, we've not seen a lot of superstar players, even though we've seen some key players. And, you know, the Dolphins get hit with two wide receivers opting out. The Patriots, my goodness, I mean, they've got some key players who've opted out. But, you know, we don't know their medical situations or family situations, so I think everybody's respecting these, well, except for the Twitterverse, but are respecting these decisions because we're dealing with something that has been a moving target that has affected a lot of people differently, so we just don't know. Now these teams are going to have to adjust. They've got plenty of time to do so. And then you talked about how what players and coaches are learning, it's a new behavior. You know, I did a piece on the Rams where I went to their facility a couple days before players reported, and just the steps you have to go through upon arrival in the facility, it's new. I mean, you're not sitting next to, you know, in the Rams locker room, the position groups no longer sit together. You've got a quarterback, you've got a DB, you've got a wide receiver, you have an offensive tackle. That's strategic. So one position group may not get wiped out by something that happens in the locker room. They're trying to keep everybody distance. The cleaning measures, the things you have to do after every practice, your behaviors in the training room. You know, one guy gets up from getting his ankle taped, they rip off a sheet and they throw it in a sanitizing wash bin right away. These are learned behaviors that will become second nature. And so you're going through this process right now for the next 2 weeks, or they're going through that, they're lifting weights, they're getting conditioning and going through walkthroughs. That stuff they do in OTAs. Normally, these guys are on the field playing football to some degree. And look, tonight they're supposed to be playing the Hall of Fame game.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's pushed back in terms of that. No preseason games. But I think when it all comes down to it, if teams stay disciplined and healthy, you know, week one will kick off. No fans in a lot of places, but it'll still be football.
talking football with my friend Steve Weitz. Check out his great work, NFL Network and the NFL Media Platform. So you alluded to the fact that tonight should have been the debut of the preseason with the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. For years, many of us have ripped the preseason, critiquing the product, saying it was unwatchable football, but we know the purpose of exhibition games, Steve. It's all about player evaluation. Same time, college football never had preseason games, and they've been fine for a century, jumping right in. So what kind of level of play do you think we're going to see when we get to week one in September?
You know, look, when you think about it, think about preseason. More and more teams, starters don't play a snap in the preseason. So you're talking about evaluating kick returners. The linebacker is going to be on kickoff coverage. Some guys who might come in and play. And you want to get some guys some game snaps. So early on is probably going to be a little sloppy. The one thing, you know, that maybe isn't talked about enough is during this whole COVID, we just talked about some of the procedures players are having to go through at their facilities. How is it going to be on game day at their stadiums, whether they're the home team or whether they travel? That is something that is going to be missed by not having preseason games. So, you know, that could be something that, again, teams are going to rehearse in one way or another before they actually do it. But the evaluation you talked about in college and high school, these guys can determine their players via practice only. We've heard a lot of coaches say they're going to set up live scrimmages where they're going to tackle as well. So they can see, okay, some guys might not be great players in individual drills and these 7-on-7 drills, but they may function better in live drills. So we'll see some teams doing that. Others, you know, they're not going to put their key players in full tackling drills, but they'll figure this out. And the people who are going to be most exposed or evaluated or praised when the season is said and done are the scouting departments of these teams, because they're going to have depth, rotational players. And if you miss on draft picks or the free agents you brought in when you need to replace players, then you're going to be exposed. So that's the one of the bigger conversations that folks in the NFL scouting world are talking about.
Steve Weitz of NFL Network is our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. Steve, despite the pandemic, Tom Brady got as much time as he could in with his new teammates. And apparently, if he wants to, he can be part of that voluntary bubble. Tampa Bay looking into emulating the Saints, having their own hotel that players can sequester themselves when we get to the regular season. We know about Mike Evans and the quality receivers, the return of Gronk, but Brady did turn 43 on Monday. What are reasonable expectations? Not Super Bowl hype, unless you believe they can go to the big game at their own stadium. What do you think the Bucs are going to do this season?
Well, I mean, look, a lot of people understand that this is a Super Bowl type of push for them. Look at the players that they're bringing in. Even bringing in someone like Shady McCoy, who, you know, we don't even know if he's going to make the roster, but this is the push because of that, because of the ages. You know, Gronk coming back because of Brady. I personally, look, getting through the Saints and a team no one's talking about, I think it's going to be really good this year at the Falcons. I mean, getting out of that division is going to be a challenge for them. It is not going to be easy. They've got the talent, they've got the quarterback, but can he keep it up for a full 16 plus if they go to the playoffs? That's why this is so intriguing as to what's going to happen with the Buccaneers, because they're loaded. But you know what? So are a lot of other teams in the NFC. So it's not going to be a cakewalk. But I think legit expectations that people should have for them is they should be a playoff team and they should make a deep run.
Steve, if I ask you about Brady, I got to pivot to the Patriots, hoping that Cam Newton can stay healthy and deliver on that low-risk, low-money contract. You brought up the fact that the Patriots lead the league in a dubious category with 8 players opting out already. We love conspiracy theories, especially on the internet in 2020. What do you make of the wave of players in New England this year deciding they're not going to play?
Yeah, look, again, we don't know a lot of these guys' medical situation. So I'm going to give everyone who opts out that benefit of the doubt. They feel that for a football player to give up a season is a hard thing to do. This is not something I'm sure that is taken lightly. That said, you look at some of the players who've opted out, Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung. You know, they said they've got young children, they don't want to expose them, but they've also got championships, and they've earned a nice little nest egg in their careers already. So maybe that factored into it a little bit as well. Plus, they could see that this team is going to be different than what it's been. I mean, they're not just losing the opt-out guys. They lost a bunch of really good players to free agency Tom Brady being among them, but Kyle Van Noy and several others. So, you know, the big storyline when Brady left was who needed the other more, Brady or Belichick. Well, it might not be a fair fight for Belichick this year, where Brady's going to a team that's stacked. Belichick is going to a team where he's going to have to do one of his best coaching jobs to have them in playoff contention, and that's going to be tough because I think Buffalo is going to be the team to beat in the AFC East.
Chatting with Steve Weich of NFL Network. Finally, I alluded to your versatility, not just because you're a good friend. You're a legitimate journalist. You work for outlets like the Washington Post and the Miami Herald. That background served you very well in 2016. You were covering a Niners preseason game, and then Colin Kaepernick decided not to stand for the anthem. As that event unfolded that night, Steve, did you have a sense this would be a transformational story?
I knew it would have legs, but not, I mean, not to the point where he would never work again, and not to the point where he has been one of the key figures without saying or doing anything, so, you know, outwardly, during this summer, which is quite similar to 2016. I mean, you know, we're talking about George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery and a lot of the protests. These were going on in 2016. People forget. You know, you had a lot of unarmed people of color on video getting murdered by police. And so that's why Cap did what he did. But the fact back then, he stood alone. And when I say alone, Eric Reed and Eli Harold and a couple other people spoke out about this. But now a ton of people, including the league itself, is speaking out about this. This, to me, goes to show that his place in history as the keystone of this modern NFL social awareness is well set, because I don't think players, teams, coaches, the league itself would be here without him taking the gesture that he did, cost him his career, continues criticism as well as praise. So no idea that it would have this type of effect. Knew it would have some legs, but again, he is now a historical figure instead of just a quarterback who at the time was trying to get a starting job back.
Well, NFL Network was fortunate. You were there to cover the story in real time, and I think you can draw a direct bright line from, say, 1968 and Tommy Smith and John Carlos in Mexico City to what Colin Kaepernick did in 2016 and where we are as a society today. Steve, thanks so much for the time. Keep up the great work. As we say goodbye, I know you're a very proud father. Have one of your kids update your Wikipedia profile. I Googled you this morning. It still lists you as working for the defunct NFLAM.
You know what? That goes to show you my relevance in the world.
Steve, I Googled myself. I don't even have a Wikipedia page, all right? Despite my vanity.
That's a good thing, man.
Thank you, my friend. Be good.
Appreciate you having me on. You take care.
All right. Steve Weich.
The final 22 teams are in Orlando, and they're back on the court. While the ending to this year's basketball season will be different than years past, there will not be a shortage of excitement. And there is no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To celebrate the return of basketball, DraftKings will have not one, but two $1 million top prizes through the first 2 days of the resume season, so get in on all the action right now. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy basketball is so easy to play. You just pick 8 players, you stay under the salary cap, and you pile up points for three-pointers, rebounds, assists, and more. There is no better way to put your basketball knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at $1 million. But if basketball is not for you, don't worry. DraftKings is offering plenty of other fantasy golf action for this week's tournament as well. With millions of dollars up for grabs, there is no better place to have skin in the game than with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app right now and use the promo code ROME and get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week. With your first deposit, that's promo code ROME and get a free shot at millions of dollars with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Fired up and feeling good on a Thursday. 1-800-636-8686. We have backloaded the program. Our next guest won't join us until roughly, let me see what time we have him slated for. 2:05 Eastern time, Mark Medina covers the NBA for USA Today. He'll join us live from the bubble. So, if you want to be a part of the show, phone calls taken selectively at 1-800-636-8686. Your tweets coming up. That's B.W. Weber straight ahead. I'll jump into the bubble. We'll talk about the elite teams in the NBA a week into the restart. Is it too early to come up with any definitive takeaways? And then coming up in the next hour of the program, let me find the button here. I'll push it right there. Button. The countdown to tip-off in Orlando will be underway. Zion Williamson, who played 25 minutes, the most he's played in Orlando, the last time we saw him, beating Memphis as the Grizzlies continue to fall apart. And that wacky play-in gimmick, the 9 seed versus the 8 seed, might come into focus. We'll talk Zion as the Pelicans get set to take on your Sacramento Kings. More NFL coming up, kicking off hour number 2 of the program. A former teammate of Cam Newton's, Kyle Love, defensive tackle. You probably haven't heard of him. Well, you might have seen the headline, which is salient on a Big Word Thursday because he played for both the Panthers and Patriots, has some doubts about how Cam is going to be integrated into the culture that features the Patriot way. We're also tracking Tiger Woods. When I say we, I mean the executive producer of this program, Less Than Zero, Adam Hawk, and that's where Tiger stands. First major of the year PGA Championship this weekend on CBS. You can catch all the action as Brooks Koepka goes after the three-peat, trying to join Walter Hagen, who achieved the feat better than 95 years ago. Could Koepka take home his third straight Wanamaker Trophy, or is somebody else going to shine in the San Francisco Bay Area PGA Championship live starting Saturday at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific on CBS from scenic Harding Park in the Bay Area. The vista's gorgeous. Temperatures, if you know anything about San Francisco, Mark Twain never said the coldest winter day I ever spent was my summer in San Francisco. That's made up, but this is legitimate. It's cold in that part of the city in summer. So with the fog burning off slowly, temperatures in the low 50s, but not impacting, apparently, Tiger Woods and his back issue at all. As he plays his fifth hole, he is 2 under. He's got a share of the lead, a glamour group, Tiger alongside Rory McIlroy and a former PGA champion who moved back to number 1 with his victory last week in Memphis, JT, Justin Thomas. We'll talk Tiger. I'll give you thoughts on realistic expectations 1 hour from now. So I have to be transparent about my need to be as responsible as I can reading your tweets. The balancing act for a fill-in host is I can go all in. Last time I was here, I said facetiously we might have Romageddon 2. I can just destroy the format and take 19 phone calls and read 1,000 tweets and feel good about myself. I don't think it's going to be a quality show. Plus, if we're going to be totally upfront, when Jim's not here, a lot of the legends drift away. They take their time off in the basement too. So I'm looking for the right mix of your interaction and my sizzling hot takes. Back to the JTP. Here is Jake in Buffalo. Gruden pretending to have COVID is wild, Weber. Thanks, Manti Te'o.
Hey, babe. I'm just calling to say goodnight. I love you. I know that you're probably doing homework or you're with the boys or grubbing me. What a fatty. But I just want to say I love you and goodnight. And I'll be okay tonight. I'll do my best. So get your rest and I will talk to you tomorrow. I love you so much, hon.
Catfish back on MTV with the virtual at-home edition because I have no life. I watch MTV too, which somehow is in my cable rotation. Wooden Laconic, a regular on the program. John Gruden telling his players he has picked up COVID-19 just to test the reaction is messed up. Sincerely, that guy whose girl told him she's pregnant just to test his reaction. SA Sports Honk, Webs, I'm opting out of college. Sincerely, Adam Hawk. 3 opt-outs at junior college? I lost track. because his parents, as he once told Jim in one of my favorite moments in the history of this Hall of Fame program, his parents were chill. Super chill. Ah, reading. Overrated. And now I work for this guy who, if you resent me, and I don't blame
him. We wanted to.
Self-hatred is a big reason why we get into sports media. The whole initial opportunity that I got to fill in 4 years ago was based on my friendship with Adam Hawk, who was my producer at another national network. And like Garrett Ritt, he has blown past me to have a much better career. Let's talk about the premier teams in the NBA. And I will be as open as I can be. I would love to do a NBA-only program. Despite my background with NFL Network, I am an NBA fanboy. I've called more college basketball games than any other sport I've been lucky to be connected to. The one sport I could play a smidge until I got pushed out of sports when I was 12 years old in terms of competitive athletics. I think the product has been tremendous in the bubble. We'll talk about the race for eight in the West coming up in Zion in the next hour of the program. But at the top of the seedings, if you care about where things stand right now, Bucks one win away from locking up the top seed in the East. Looks like they're going to be the number one overall seed, but that's completely irrelevant because literally there's no home court advantage because there's no fans. Lakers able to secure the top seed the other day, and they were sleepwalking last night when they took on the OKC Thunder, much as the Bucks did the other day when they lost to the Nets of all people, but at least the Bucks had an excuse that they were following good old load management and resting the majority of their starters, limiting the minutes. So if you are part of Laker Nation, I come to you from our Regal Studios here in Southern California, and you're already booking a virtual parade down Figueroa in downtown L.A., I would ask you this. Are you watching these Laker games? And I could read you a bunch of stats. That's hideously boring, but the numbers bear out what the eyeball test also demonstrates. The Lakers' offense has been hugely out of sync. Some of that comes down to LeBron pacing himself because he knows at this point the games have little meaning, and he knows he's getting ready for yet another deep run, hopefully, if you're a Laker fan, all the way to the NBA Finals. And LeBron, more rested than he's ever been at this stage of the season, getting ready for the postseason. He's been deferring to Anthony Davis, who's been all or nothing at all. Four games for the Lakers, AD spectacular in two. Last night, he didn't show up again, although the Lakers emotionally probably flat. And if we're just going to be thoroughly straightforward, they have very little to play for, other than they got to find their closing combination. I don't care about the starting five. My question is, who's going to be on the floor at the end of games? Because LeBron's going to command a double, or if Anthony Davis does, we know that LeBron, if you want to be someone who is critiquing his Hall of Fame resume, has the tendency to be a distributor. And he'll move the ball, trying to get a teammate involved, even in a high-leverage situation. Well, who do you want taking that shot for the Lakers if it's not LeBron and it's not AD? Kyle Kuzma, you're riding with him? Don't tell me Caruso. I know he's a fan favorite, but if you're banking on him hitting a big shot to go to the NBA Finals, you're in trouble. And we knew, as things were crystallizing at the outset, that Avery Bradley opting out along with Rajon Rondo getting hurt would create a dilemma in the backcourt. That has been borne out so far. In that debacle last night against OKC, Lakers shot less than 40%. To put that in context, the first 63 games before Rudy Gobert, Lakers were only 40% once. And, because I actually did some research here, in addition to that inefficient performance last night, out of the four games they played, three of them have been sub 40%. Season low, 86 points against Chris Paul and his annoying tendencies with the OKC Thunder last night. So it's not time to hit the panic button. Let's have a degree of perspective. Lakers still in terrific shape to be the team that you should believe makes it all the way to the NBA Finals. Although, a good chance to gauge them tonight against the Houston team. That has been fascinating, although they lost to the Blazers the other night. We'll talk about Skinny Melo and Dame and what's working in Portland coming up in the next hour of the show. The issue for the Lakers is going to be the depth of the Western Conference. And you're talking about depth for LA's other team. Well, the Clippers have more options than anybody in all of basketball, including the Celtics and the team nobody's talking about, the reigning champs, the Raptors, with Kyle Lowry and Pascal Siakam and a basketball savant in Nick Nurse. The issue for the Clippers is going to be, have they fully been able to integrate all the pieces on this roster? Because of load management during the regular season, we're only into the early stages of double-digit games that Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and the rest of the guys have been able to play together. Sweet Lou Williams is back from his trip to Magic City, but Montrezl Harrell's still not with the team. If you're trying to forecast what's going to happen as we get close to the start of the postseason in the NBA, go with depth and go with who has the best third option. That's not the Bucks. Beyond Giannis and Chris Middleton, who are you counting on? Not the Lakers. I think it's the Clippers.
Good night,